We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So we speak of fighting a spiritual battle. You know, oftentimes we get so engrossed in talking about the love of God and how God is loving, and but then we forget that there are times that we must stand our ground. There must be times that we stand against false teaching. We stand against anything that speaks incorrectly of Christ or about Christ. You know, when we search God's Word, we're challenged at every turn to identify God accurately of who He is, His character, and He represents Himself in His Word so that we might understand that. But unfortunately, there's times that people want to take their own ideologies, their own ideas, or maybe even infiltrate into the church and establish their own movement, if you will, their own following, and big personalities want to take over. Paul has written a letter to the Corinthian church, and if you remember, it was quite stern. There was some sin and some serious sins that were going on in the church, and he was calling that out. They thought that they're in Corinth, that they were allowing these sins. They were looking at being, inclusion and allowing things to go along. They thought it was an act of love. And Paul, he nails them and said, it's not an act of love to accept sin. It speaks against God. It's disrespectful to God. It's sin. And when you accept the sin of others, then you fall into that same trap. And so therefore he says, look, you must repent. It was serious. And then they were, as a church, to take action and even discipline some of their church members. Well, we find out that in the writing of the second letter, 2 Corinthians, we find that he's very pleased because as a church as a whole, they turned to the Lord. They repented. Said, yes, we need to change these things. We need to come and be made right with the Lord. And they repented. But unfortunately, we begin to see, as he's writing here in the second letter, we find that there were some that found that they wanted to get a foothold into the church again and try to continue some of these things. There were false teachers that were trying to set up shop, if you will, and trying to get a following. They were probably big personalities, big mouths, a lot of excitement, a lot of noise around them. And as Paul was writing to them, he writes, he wants to come to them peacefully, but they don't leave it peacefully. They actually attack Paul personally. Now you would think that, you just want to throw the gloves down and say, all right, it's on, right? You're going to make this personal. Okay, you went there. Well, you know, when we see personal attacks, it gets ugly, doesn't it? It's, in fact, it's when we're at our worst, isn't it? When those things come out of our mouths and we begin to attack each other or individuals. You know what, folks? I think that's what makes our skin crawl when we watch the news. I really do. In our society anymore, in our culture, we can't even have a conversation without it becoming a personal attack or a screaming match. And you know what, folks? Satan just has a ball with all of that. He loves it. He loves it when you can't even talk civilly to each other in a line at Walmart. A young lady in her 20s can't even work a checkout lane without being screamed at and cussed because she's not checking things fast enough or didn't do a price check fast enough for them, or just you looked at them cross-eyed and they're just screaming and want to destroy your life and everything about you. How heartbreaking it is that we get to that. And you know what? When we look at these things, I want you to know something. We're in a spiritual battle. It's going to come. Paul was writing to a church with an apostolistic authority, okay? When I say that, is that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He came late, but he's seen the Lord. He's seen the Savior. He fits all the criteria to be an apostle. And he was God called. He was God sent. And so therefore, when he went, he didn't just go on his own merit. but he went with the power of God, the authority of God. And so when he was speaking, he did so lovingly. But then when the people, the ones that were trying to stir up, trying to mislead, begin to attack him, he had to point out, it's that you're not resisting me, but you're resisting God's word. So now you need to be careful. But yet some of them were. So when we come into the 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we see as he's writing, I'm going to go ahead and start in verse 1 in chapter 10. He says, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We pray for your spirit to guide us in the understanding of your word. May you help us to see the battle that lays ahead of us, that we are fighting to defend the truth, to present the gospel in a loving and a peaceful way. And in that is a battle that we must fight against the forces that Satan has pulled together to resist the truth, to ignore the truth, but to tear down the Lord's church. But Lord, we know that you have promised that your church will endure because you have given her life. You have given her strength. And so, Lord, may we continue in faithfulness to you. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. So, in the beginning here, Paul says, "Myself, I am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." You would hope that this would disarm some of those that wanted to attack Paul. He wants to draw, once again, the example of Christ. He says, "I'm coming to you not as a person. I'm not coming to settle a score. I'm not even coming to be considered the most important one. But I'm coming so that you might see and know what God is wanting you to do." But there are some, as he says, "I can come peacefully. But there are some that I may have to come boldly with, that the confidence by which I intend to be bold against some." That was in verse 2. He says, "I know that there are some of you that are going to try to fight, but I'm ready." You know, this is interesting that sometimes when we think about defending God's word, and I guess I need to verify, what do I mean by fight? Fighting is not a screaming match. It's not pulling hair and screaming down each other's throats. That's what Paul was saying. Some of you think that I'm going to come and fight. Even though I'm in the flesh, I'm not going to fight as if I'm in the flesh. Does that make sense? I'm not coming to hurl insults. I'm not coming to set myself up above everybody else and make myself better. I'm not coming to wow you with all the fancy words and everything. In fact, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In the first letter that he writes, he even sets the tone. He was setting the tone. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God." Now, first of all, you're going to think that, well, did Paul come in a dumb way? No. He says, "I come to you, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I want you to think about what he's saying. In the first letter, he sets the tone. "I didn't come to wow you with fancy words." Now, here's something that we might begin to think about, is some of the accusations that was coming against Paul. Some of them said, oh, yeah, when he writes with pen, oh, he's bold. Yeah, he's real brave. But then when he comes face to face, he's a coward. But what Paul was trying to do, he tried to come peacefully, mercifully, delicately. He wanted a good result, right? And so then they call him a coward. Not about you, but that just kind of burns my beans. How about you? You try to be nice and they want to beat you with it. Well, I'm done being nice, okay? That's our flesh, right? That's my flesh. I'm not going to accuse you of it. You may do that a lot better than I do. That's my flesh. But Paul says, look, I'm not coming to you in the flesh. I'm not presenting man's wisdom. You know, in the last part of that, he says, look, I come to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. It's just that he wasn't afraid of them, but he come in reverence before God. And he says, I don't want you to depend upon the persuasive words of human wisdom. Right there in verse 5, he said, that's not what we're depending upon. Now, let me tell you, there are many preachers and pastors that are so eloquent with God's words. And when they are focused on Scripture, glory be to God. But there are some in the world today that want to throw out fancy liturgy and fancy descriptions and confusing conversation because they want to talk over your head and convince you that you just simply can't understand what they do. My friend, be careful. Be careful. If they don't come from God's word, from God's authority, then let it be. Let it be. Let them go impress someone else because usually they're just trying to impress themselves. But in the demonstration, Paul says, I come in demonstration of the Spirit and of power that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Do you know what it looks like when God shows up in a service? Do you know what it looks like when God shows up in the preaching of His Word? You know what? There's times that it's not as exciting and exuberant as we want. Sometimes it just simply comes to a heavy heart that, God, I just need an answer. Or maybe it is that, God, I just need to get through one more day. Or maybe it is that, God, I've tried everything and now I'm not sure where to turn and I'm looking for answers. Maybe we've trusted Him and we've experienced a mountaintop and He's speaking to our hearts again to climb the next mountain. Whatever it may be, we know that when men show up in the power of God, that all glory goes to Him. It's evident. How often do we see God working in and through Israel? Over and over, He says, Israel, I didn't call you because you were big. I didn't call you because you were the greatest. I didn't call you because you were better than everyone else. I called you because you were small. Why? So that my glory might be seen through you. And my friend, He continues to call us in the same way today. And Paul is trying to get them to see that there were some big personalities in the church of Corinth, making a big noise, and everybody's just convinced that, oh, they've got to be the right ones. But yet, they were teaching false doctrine. They were not teaching the Word of God. Big personalities can draw a big crowd, but they just draw them in the wrong direction sometimes. And we need to be aware of God's Word, and we need to be aware of God's leaders. Amen? My second point in verse 4 is tearing down false teachings. Now we're tearing things down. Wow. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What are we talking about in this? The strongholds. There is a resistance that is built up against God, against His Word. And it is in the minds and the hearts of those that are lost. They are combative. You ever tried to talk with someone that is just absolutely determined that they will not believe in God no matter what you show them? They have walls that are built up, right? They have a resistance that is built up. Satan has fortified and built a resistance around those that are lost. You know, it is sad that it's difficult to reach those that do not want to know about God, that reject God. They've set up a resistance that they sit comfortably in. You know, even Satan begins to build that, those lies and the sin in their lives to convince them that they don't need God. Warren Wiersbe had a quote that I found was really interesting. He says, "Once the walls in the mind are torn down, the door to the heart can then be opened." And sometimes people, we think that, well, it's just too hard to get through all the questions and all the difficult things that they have. I don't know how to answer. My friend, that's some of the best Bible study and challenging of my own faith was when I tried to witness to people that I worked with and they didn't want anything to do with God. Or they refute things that are in the Bible. Or they misinterpret things that are in the Bible. And then I had to go back when I was young and study and try to understand what they meant, what the Scripture actually means, and what God is saying, and then try to go back and share it with them. You know, they find out very quickly that you're not trying to tear them down, but you're trying to tear down the lies that they've been told. Can they see the difference then when we share the gospel? Notice he says that we're tearing down strongholds, not people. So see how we're defining when we fight. We're not fighting the people to prove them, I'm right, you're wrong. What value is that? It just leads to pride, doesn't it? It leads to arrogance. That's the way we fight in the flesh. But when we fight in the spirit, we come humbly. We come in a meek spirit. We come gently. And sometimes even taking the accusations, but yet offering peace. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6 tells us exactly how that we step into this battle. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Think of this for a moment as Paul is sitting there between two soldiers chained up. As he's admiring their armor, he begins to think of the spiritual battle that he is in the very middle of right at this moment as he's writing and penning the book of Ephesians. He is awaiting a trial. He's in a battle for his life, isn't he? But yet he doesn't think upon his safety and his well-being. He's concerned for the churches. He's concerned for believers. How are they growing? Are they fighting the fight? Are they seeing him and being discouraged? He doesn't want them to be discouraged. He wants them to be encouraged to continue to fight the forces of evil that are out to suppress God's word. So how do we fight? Well, we do it in the power of God's might and not our own. Amen? Folks, there's so many times that we want to argue someone to Christ. All you have to do is just share the word. There is nothing that could be more powerful, nothing that could be more clearly said than when we quote God's word. Now, sometimes I always get the question, well, Pastor, they don't believe the Bible. They don't want to hear the Bible. Then can I tell you something that I've done? There's a lot of times that I quote Scripture and I don't give them the reference so that they don't know I'm speaking from the Bible. But yet I'm just bold enough to think that when they hear God's word, that the Spirit's going to work on their heart. He's got to do it anyway. I can't. But what I do know is I do know what the truth is. Now, people are going to say, oh, well, you're just bragging. No, Jesus showed me. He told me. It's right here. And I'll share it. All you got to do is ask. And even if you don't ask, I'm going to find a sneaky way to slip it in there. There's always an opportunity to share a psalm with someone in line at Walmart or the store when you're just standing around waiting. There's always a way to share of God's love without being all religious or fanatic, but yet you're sharing God's word and they don't even know it. And they get excited. They're encouraged by it and say, oh, you know, I've never heard that before. Oh, want to hear another one? Just give me a chance, you know. Oh, they have no idea. You know what happens when I get started. They don't. But you know, when we begin to share, we're going in the power of His might. We're putting on the armor of God in order for us to stand against the difficulties, the spiritual darkness and the principalities and host of wickedness that we're fighting. We cannot fight these on our own. And so therefore, we must take upon ourselves Christ Himself. We must work in and through Him, and only by His working can we fight these battles. He puts on the belt of truth. Satan will fight us with lies, and sometimes we even lie to ourselves and thinking that the lie sounds good, doesn't it? There's a lot of lies that God puts out to us, and we fight against that. We bristle against it. But it seems that though Satan puts out lies and we run after it as a fleshly people. But God's out there to defeat the lies of Satan. You know what that is? It's the truth of God's word. There is no other source, folks. There's nothing else that can combat lies. The word of truth. So don't let Satan convince you, they don't believe in a Bible, so don't use it. My friend, use it. You know why? Because it is our life's blood. It is our foundation. Why wouldn't you use it? The breastplate of righteousness. Now, this is not our righteousness. This is the righteousness of Christ, right? But He attacks our hearts, the very seat of our emotions and our feelings. And so many times we're looking for approval. Unfortunately, we go to the world sometimes and look for approval. My friend, as a child of God, if you are truly a child of God, you'll never find the world's approval. In fact, Jesus says, if you're an enemy of the world, then you're my friend. If you're my friend, you're going to be an enemy of the world. There is no in-between. We think that we can bounce back and forth and find convenience. We think that we can stand with Peter and warm our hands at the fire. And they say, oh, you speak just like the other Galileans. You must be with Jesus. No, 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 no. I'm not a part of Him. Oh, no. We've heard you. We heard you speak. No, no, no. And after three times, He denies. Folks, you can't stand at the enemy's fire and warm your hands and fit in. You know why? Because God has made us different. Glory be to God. Glory be to God that He's given us life. The foot gear that we have, the feet shod with preparations for the gospel. You know, in the Romans times that they would have sandals and they would actually drive nails through it and then they'd lay leather over the top of it. And they would wear it in like a modern-day cleat. When they go into battle, man, they had a strong foothold. And they could deliver a hard blow. When we prepare to share the gospel, there's no more powerful thing that we can do. There's no more powerful message that we can share. But notice, it's not a message of war. It's a message of the gospel of peace. If Satan can convince you that telling others the good news is a worthless and hopeless task, that the size of the task is too big, the negative responses are just too much to handle. But God gives us the motivation to continue to proclaim the truth, the true peace that is available in Jesus Christ that everyone needs to hear. The shield of faith. When Satan attacks, there's setbacks, there's temptations. The faith that we have in the Lord Jesus will protect us from the fiery darts. Satan is always trying to tear us down, convince us that following God is not worth the time, it's not worth the sacrifice. But my friend, the victory has already been given. Amen? We're not fighting a battle and hope that we win. We're fighting a battle that He has already won. The helmet of salvation. Satan wants us to doubt. He wants us to doubt God. He wants us to doubt Christ. He wants us to doubt our salvation. But the salvation that Jesus brings is that protects our hearts and our minds from doubting. He gives us His grace. He continues to do His redemptive work in and through us. He sends His Spirit to witness with our spirit, to strengthen us, and to draw us close. And the one thing that He gives us to go on the offensive is the sword, the Spirit of the Word of God. My friend, take it everywhere you go. Use it in every situation that you can. Speak His Word. This generation is so desperate need of hearing the truth of God's Word. The Bible tells us that we're responsible for sharing the gospel with our generation. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't witness to other people of different ages, but yet we have a God-given responsibility that we reach our generation. Too often we look around and we look at different generations in the church and we think that, well, that's just not for me. According to God's Word, according to the church and the message that He's given us and the Great Commission that we're to go, He said that for all ages, all believers, all time, wherever you are, you, as you are going, take with you the gospel of Christ. Amen, church? We are to go. We must take upon us the power of God and the power of the Spirit. As He says, to pray in the Spirit, you must prepare in prayer before you go. Because God is going to do a work. We have to have a passion for the lost, folks. Jude told us, but you, dear friends, you must build each other up in holy faith and pray in the power of the Spirit. Await the mercy of our Lord Jesus, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, keep yourselves safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Some of us that are struggling in our faith right now, you need to share with them. You need to encourage them, right? Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy still to others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. Folks, we got to be careful because we're just as fleshly as the ones that we're trying to reach. Amen? We need to be cautious. We're in a battle. Bring every thought in obedience to Christ. My last thought. Bring every thought in obedience to Christ. Verses 5 and 6. So far we've had a battle for the truth. Then we've had a battle against false teachings, defending truth. And then lastly here, we're going to be talking about a battle for the mind. Verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That phrase that we've read there is talking about reasoning, our thoughts, imaginations. They're utterly cast down. What does that mean? They're taken captive into voluntary obedience to faith in Christ. Everybody has opinions, don't they? Everybody has ideas. We even sang it in one of the lines in one of our songs that I've heard a million stories of what people think that he is. Haven't you? I've heard every description of him, some encouraging, some very discouraging, and bordering blasphemous. They speak against the Son of God. They speak against the eternal Christ who has come to save us. But yet, we have an opportunity to share who He truly is. And so, in our thoughts and minds, what's going on? I sometimes wonder if that is why we're not going, because we're still battling in our minds of what is true. What is most important? Are we bringing all of those thoughts into captivity into Christ? And so think about this for a moment. When we are faced with questions and difficulties and situations of morality or the lack of morality in our communities, what do we do with this? Well, often we want to take the first steps of saying, well, I need to see how it works in community. I need to see how it works for other people. When in reality, as God's people, as believers, we first say, how does God direct me to operate in this culture, in this time, and in this situation? That is our primary purpose. That is our starting point. We bring all of this reasoning, all of these thoughts, into captivity, meaning it has to pass the litmus test of what God's word says. And if it compares, good. If it agrees, better. If it disagrees with God's word, it's gone. You destroy it. You put it out. You hold on to the truth. So oftentimes I try to counsel with people and encourage them, just look at what the word says. Yeah, I know what it says, but I think you're leaning on inferior thoughts. You're leaning on inferior intelligence. You're leaning on the flesh. Lean not on the flesh, for it will fail you, is what the scripture tells us. Trust in me in all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And we just think, oh, well, this is just a great stuff on Facebook. You know, it's a great meme. I'm going to send that out. No, these are words for life and conduct in taking the thoughts that are going through our minds that Satan is implanting. We're in a day and age that we exchange more information than we ever have before. And it doesn't always mean that it's good. In fact, we exchange more trash than we ever have before. Our mental diet is just like our physical diet. We eat way too much junk food. And isn't it, doesn't your heart just kind of melt when you say those favorite junk food? Doesn't your belly just say, oh man, I'd like one of those now. Now we're all thinking, it's like, oh yeah, after church, I'm going to go, right? It stirs up those thoughts. And what do? We got to take them captive and say, oh, you stop right there. You stop right there. God, what is it that we need to do? God, what is it that you have for us? We bring every thought. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Does it mean automatically everything I say is what Christ said? If you're quoting God's word, yes. But see, as God's children, we have been brought in to the family of God. He's given us life. The Spirit of God is indwelling within us. The Spirit is reminding us of what the Father has said and is guiding us in the Word. So therefore, we know what Christ is wanting us to think and to do. But sometimes it's a battle. Amen? Often it's a battle to protect our minds and our thoughts from those things that are just simply not true. Satan is efficient at implanting ungodly thoughts in our minds, causing worry and fear, or maybe even dread. When God wants to fill us with his love and his strength, we're already filled up with all of these things that Satan has put within us. Are you ready to empty your heart and empty your mind and say, God, it's time that you move in and you help me fight this battle the right way? Amen? Oh, we always try to use our self-help. We try to use all the things that we can come up with to try to make it better instead of falling on our knees with our Bibles open and say, God, I'm in a battle. What does the captain of my soul want me to do? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Here you thought we were in for a fight, not a fight with each other, but a fight with the evil one. You know, there was a great city that was just on the other side of Jordan. As Joshua was leading Israel out, God says, I want you to go through that city. It was fortified. No one could overcome it. Even the Israelites couldn't overcome it. And so you know what God said? I want you to walk around this city for a week. And they did. Oh, the absurdity of what in the world was that going to accomplish? But yet, God says each and every day, I want you to walk around this city, blowing trumpets, following in obedience to me. Many would say, what in the world are you trying to accomplish? They were faithfully following the Lord, amen. But finally, on the seventh day, God says, now I'm going to take care of everything that's in the way. And he leveled the city and conquered and give them peace and give them safety. There's a lot of obstacles in our lives today. There's a lot of obstacles in our country and our communities today that are fighting against God's word. He can take them down, but he's going to use us in faithful obedience, peacefully sharing the gospel of Christ. A lot of times that we try to change the political temperature of our country. Can I tell you, why don't we just get to the heart of the matter and share Christ? Therein lies the greatest power that we could ever exercise. Christ living in me. It's not me that liveth, but Christ living in me. See, I quoted another verse to you again. Isn't that sneaky? Oh, I tell you what. So many ways that we can combat. They want to fight, but God wants to love. But you know what? Sometimes we have to be the spearhead. Sometimes we're going to have to take it. Don't let Satan convince you. It's not worth it. Don't let him convince you the message isn't going to get through. It is getting through, whether they show it or not, whether you see it or not. That doesn't matter. But our responsibility is to go. Amen? To go with the message. I'm going to pray for you. This is going to be our dismissal. Thank you for being here. Thank you for making this a priority today. May the Lord bless you in the holiday weekend. Be safe, okay? Be safe. And we'll be grateful for those that have sacrificed for our country. Let's pray. This will be our dismissal prayer. Father, as we come to you, Lord, we thank you for being the captain of our souls. Lord, you guide us, you direct us. You don't send us into battle knowing that we're going to be defeated. You send us with a victory song on our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for that. All that Jesus has done, all that Jesus has paid for, all that Jesus has conquered, the victory is already yours. You send us to go with the message, the love, the gospel, the salvation that you have provided. Lord, what a greater privilege. There is no greater privilege that we could ever have. No glorious, more glorious message could we deliver than what you have already given us. But Lord, we're fearful. We allow things to get in the way. We allow the lies to get in our heads. We allow Satan to get a foothold. Lord, I ask you, help us to put him out. Put him out of our minds. To put his lies out of our church. To put his lies out of our family. May we be willing to battle and defend the truth. May we never tire. May you restore a passion in our hearts for those that are lost. Not that we're just genuinely concerned, but Lord, break our hearts until we just can't rest, until we've prayed, we've witnessed, we've shared, and we loved those that are around us. Lord, put upon our hearts, break us to have a compassion for the lost like you have for us. Lord, thank you for your people. May your blessing be upon them. Strengthen them as we go into the mission field today. Lord, help them in the battles that they're battling in their personal lives and in their homes. Lord, I pray you bring victory to them. Turn their hearts to you. Give them a strength that they've never known before. And we'll all turn back to you and give you the glory. For only you are worthy of our praise. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.